The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I am so excited to have everyone back. I'm even more excited to have on our guest today. He is the founder of Bricken Investment Group, Mr. Sam Wilson. Sam, thanks so much for joining us. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm great, Cody. How about yourself?
Oh, man, like we were talking about a little bit before, I'm going to be drinking this second cup of coffee while we're chatting today. So I'm going to be really good here in a little bit. For those that are maybe, you know, seeing your name in the on the show notes and hearing your voice for the first time, hopefully not, but if they are, would you mind giving us a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days?
Yeah, sure. I'll try to keep that brief. From Indianapolis, Indiana, spent 30 years up there. I grew up in a family business, ended up buying out part of it when I was 25 and ran that till I was 30. It was not an industry I loved. I said I was actually never going to be in that industry. And there I was working in it from 16 in high school all the way till I was 30. Ended up selling that company, panicked, headed south because I hated the cold, and tried to figure out what next to do with my life after taking a few bumps and bruises on various attempts at differing industries. I accidentally stumbled into real estate, and it was a complete accident. I never intended on going into real estate. I didn't know anything about real estate. And the next thing I know, I'd flipped a house and I made a bunch of money on it. And I said, shoot, man, I'll just keep doing that. And here we are, 2013, now it's 2021. So I'd say I'm sticking with it. So that's the short of it. Yeah,
I love that, man. Well, it's interesting. You know, I say it a lot, but one of my favorite things is hearing people's background and how they got into real estate and what experience they bring to the table along the way. And it sounds like, you know, you had a pretty diverse background, but real estate wasn't a forethought for you thinking about, hey, this is something I can do or want to pursue, you know, it just kind of came to be, which is really cool. Cause I think there are a lot of people out there thinking, well, I probably have to cut my teeth in real estate. I have to have some sort of experience, whether I want to get in a single family or multifamily, I got to have some sort of experience, but that's not always the case. So
not always the case. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I appreciate you bringing that. We brought you on today. You've been doing it for a long time. You're super successful, Sam. But we know that it probably hasn't always been successful. There's probably been some bumps, bruises, challenges, maybe even failure. So wanted to bring that one of those maybe to light today to our audience so we can kind of learn from some of your experience.
Yeah. I mean, I would say my successes or my failures outweigh my successes. So picking which failure to highlight today is probably a harder task than not. We'll just start spitballing here and we'll see, sure. See what comes out, man. I'd say, you know, in real estate specifically, one of my failures has been shiny object syndrome, especially starting out. You know, I started buying it. My first purchase was at the courthouse steps at an auction, bought a house, then started doing that. And I was making great money. If you recall, auctions in 2013 were not well attended. Oftentimes I was at the courthouse by myself buying houses for a dollar over opening bid, which is just unheard of today. I didn't stick with that. The next thing I know, I'm learning about single family rentals. So I'd actually bought a foreclosure here in Memphis that I had renovated, but then couldn't sell because I bought it on the wrong side of the tracks. I didn't know Memphis that well. I was just getting to know the market and trying to move that as a flip. And I'm like, well, crud, I can't do anything with this. And I learned, oh, there's management companies out there, right? So I never heard of a management company. I guess that's sure. I'll plug them in and they'll own manage it as a rental. Which that was kind of a train wreck, you know? So, and then I started doing doing rentals. And then you learn about, you know, lease options. And then, so you think, oh, well, gosh, well now I'll buy everything on a lease option and sell lease options and we'll make the float in between. I mean, and those are iterations as you go that I think are interesting to explore and they're helpful to learn about. But had I been laser focused and stuck with one thing and just mastered it, if I had mastered flipping, if I had found the criteria and said, okay, these are the criteria, and stuck with that and developed systems in that, I would have probably made a lot more money and caused a lot less heartache than attending conferences halfway around the country on lease options, right? What a waste. I mean, they're cool things and they're still tools I use today. I still have some properties like that where people, so I don't discount the value that it has brought over time. However, I could do without that, you know, if I had been more focused earlier on, pick one thing, figure it out. And until that has run its course, And you said, okay, now I'm transitioning into something else, you know, stick with it. So that was one of the mistakes I made earlier on. I think the other thing, a mistake I made early on was not going bigger sooner, you know, so I monkeyed around with a lot of small stuff that, yeah. And this is an experience I had here just recently where I have a brother that I'm trying to convince that, hey man, like you need to start looking at bigger assets. Cause he's still in the single family, you know, doing two and three at a time, just goofing around. And I helped him, I connected him with some people that are doing lending in that space. He just doesn't know the people. And, you know, I helped him get that loan across the line. I'm like, dude, that was just as much work for $500,000 loan as it is for this apartment complex we're buying in Columbia, South Carolina. That's a $17 million loan, just as much work. And the payday is a lot smaller. So those are a couple of things. And those are probably less pointed examples.
It's interesting you talk about the scaling and not going bigger sooner. I'm wondering from your first example and talking about kind of the shiny object syndrome, as you put it, mm-hmm. Do you think that those two correlate, that because you weren't laser focused in certain areas that it was maybe tougher to see how to scale and to grow and to get into bigger things faster? Or is there any correlation maybe you feel that not focusing on one area and really owning and mastering it kept you from thinking, hey, I can get bigger faster in those areas?
Oh, for sure. I mean, never did I think that, oh, hey, you know, I can have 6, 8, 10 flips at a time going, right? I'd get one or two going and then you'd go, okay, let's add a rental here. Okay. Then you get a rental and you go, okay, now let's add a lease option. So now you're fishing for lease options, foreclosures at the courthouse steps and managing a smattering of rentals across the state of Tennessee. I'm all over the place and it's 100% DIY. You can't even really plug help in at that. Like, okay, so you're gonna bring somebody on board, you know, as a team member and do what? Those were some mistakes. You know, I think some other more pointed mistakes where I lost time in those. I never lost money. I mean, I'm sure opportunity cost, but that's not quantifiable. Quantifiable mistakes, not doing my due diligence on buying. Like, I got to a point and my background's in the trades, right? So I have a pretty good idea when I walk into a house. Okay, you know, this house is, we need about this and this will be fine. You know, I don't need, quote unquote, need to pay somebody to come in and do pre-buy inspections. And so we were buying hot and heavy in 2018. This is before, again, you know, I started really at the end of 2018 when I exited the single family space. You know, didn't do a pre-buy on a house, and I on two of them actually, and I think sum total on both of those I lost about $60,000 because of one had fire damage, and it was a 100-year-old home here in Midtown Memphis, beautiful property, but had fire damage in the basement that I couldn't see, but then, you know, when I went to sell it, it got found on the inspection, and I'm like, oh crap, so there went $30,000, right? And then I repeated it on another house. Like, you know, maybe if I had spent the $500 a house and slowed my roll and not gotten so anxious to buy, man, because I'm a deal junkie, right? A deal junkie. I love, like, you know, frenetic activity. But, you know, I think one of the things that I didn't do my pre-buys, just did a, you know, cursory walk through on my own and said, okay, there it is. So I think the other mistake there is mistaking activity for progress, right? Just because we're having fun signing papers and slinging money all over the place doesn't mean we're actually doing anything. So slow your roll, deal junkie Sam, and let's do some pre-buys. Let's calm the sellers down. Let them know that you're still good for the money. You don't have to fight for these deals. Either it's going to work out or it's not. And if it doesn't, it's probably okay. So,
right. Well, and we've heard before from others that have been on the opposite side of that, where they feel like they're doing nothing because they don't have deals coming through. The deal flow is maybe a little bit slower. They're not finding the right deals. They're talking about they don't feel like they're moving forward because there's not any activity. But really, there's probably a happy medium in both of those, right? For those that are deal junkies and just trying to close and move and sling and do this, slowing down and really taking through and owning your process and going through that process to validate that this is the right investment.
Right.
While those that are on the other end of the spectrum, you know, you're learning and growing while you're going through this. You may not be slinging deals and signing all the papers, but you're learning. You're submitting LOIs. You're getting feedback. You're underwriting. You're doing all these different things. There's probably a happy medium in there that's the sweet spot, and you got to find it.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, it can become very disheartening when you go months at a time when you're in a deal drought, I'll call it. And you keep doing it and you go, okay, it's like working out every day and not putting on any muscle. It's like, oh, this is fun. Like, why do I keep doing this? Like, I'm working out and nothing's happening. Thanks. I'm as fat as I was and I'm still not gaining muscle. So, but you are in fact making progress. You just don't know it because your process keeps getting refined. And that's why I say that no is more powerful in my life than yes, right? It's like, it's okay to say no, because I've found that my yes button's really big and my no button's really small. And so I'm trying to swap places with those on the people. And some of the people who are out there going, man, I'm just not getting any deals. We're closing this deal in Colombia right now. And my partners and I that are closing it, they've been, and we can get into how my business works. We don't have to, but they have been vetting deals for gosh, over a year. I can't tell you, hundreds of LOIs have gone out. I mean, the number of deals that we vetted are incredible, and just being very selective. But you know what? The diamond in the rough that we're picking up is a home run. So you know what? It's going to make up for all of that time that, oh well, who cares? No, we weren't slinging deals, man. But we just picked up a diamond. So I can't complain, and neither can they.
Right, and I think it's tough to grind out that kind of stuff. You're not getting the income from those, you know, or you're not getting the return on investment. It feels like for what you're doing, right. You're doing hours upon hours, months of underwriting, submitting LOIs, hearing a bunch of no's that you didn't get this deal. But it sounds like you guys do it right in that you're not going to over leverage yourself. If the deal doesn't work, the deal doesn't work. You're going to go after what works. But if it doesn't work, just because it's been months of no deals doesn't mean you're just going to go get a deal to get a deal.
Right. Right. Yeah. Better the deal. You know, I have a pilot's license, and when I fly, they always say it's better to be down here wishing you were up there than to be up there wishing you were down here. And so it's kind of the same idea. You can't lose money on the deal you didn't do.
Yeah, man. I love that. We may steal that for the show title. Sam, if you're thinking about where you were back in 2013 and you're getting your teeth cut, I know you talked about a little bit about this, but for somebody that's looking to get into it, what would be kind of your guiding light for them with what you went through, going through the shiny light syndrome and stuff like that? Looking back, what would be your advice to somebody trying to get into it right now to avoid some of those?
Man, find somebody that is way ahead of you. Either hire the best mentor you can find and vet them. There's a bunch of mentors out there. Some of them are great. Some of them aren't. I'm not going to, project one or the other on this show. But find somebody that you know, like, and trust that you can either pay a large sum of money to work personally with, or find somebody that you know, like, and trust that you can bring value to. So I've certainly done that. And again, waving my flag of shiny object syndrome in another class of real estate, where I didn't know what to do. I didn't know the asset class. I was intrigued by it. Said, this is so weird. No one talks about this asset class. So I went and found somebody. I said, what can I do to bring value to you? And, I chased him down for 4 months and eventually said, okay, here, do this and I'll teach you the business. Okay, deal. And so that's how I learned it. But so you gotta find those people in your life. And that's probably the fastest way to do it, is to have somebody that can set guardrails up on the way you think and what you want to invest in. Cause otherwise you'll end up, all herky jerky all over the place like me for several years.
Well, and I mean, you talked about it with like the home inspection and stuff. Sometimes there's a benefit to paying money to get ahead of the game and to garner that knowledge from somebody who's done it for years or decades or whatever it may be.
Right.
That lines up with your goals and aspirations and your approach to things. And finding that mentor is huge, but I can't advocate enough to having a mentor. That's one of our running themes as well. Get a mentor. It's worth its weight in gold. Either you're going to save money by catching a mistake. They're going to, catch a mistake that you were about to make and save you a ton of money, or they'll prevent you from making this mistake along the way. So either way, you will recoup the money in time invested.
Right. Agreed. So. Agreed.
Well, Sam, I can't thank you enough for joining us, sharing your experience, coming on and telling us and being humble enough to talk with us a little bit about the challenges you had along your career and what's gotten you to where you are today. So we very much appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Cody. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. For those that, like what you're talking about, want to chat more with you, or maybe even invest with you with some of the opportunities you guys have, where's the best place folks can find you?
Sure. Yeah. If you want to, I mean, join the Brickett Investment Club is the way to, there's only people inside of that club that, you know, get notified of our deals. You can just go to our website, BrickettInvestmentGroup.com. That's Bricken, B-R-I-C-K-E-N, investmentgroup.com. And you can join our investor club there. The other thing, you know, one of the free downloads that we also offer is it's a 10-minute guide. It's called How to Vet a Deal in 10 Minutes. So one of the things I've found over the years is that I can spend an inordinate amount of time vetting deals that I don't belong in, especially as you're a new investor. You start looking, you're like, oh, hey, that's a fun market. I wonder what happens here. And then 2 hours later, your eyes are, you're cross-eyed. You're no closer to making a decision about whether this is good for you or not. So I've got a guide. In 10 minutes, it'll help you figure out whether this deal is for you. And you can either throw it out, which you should probably do most deals on, or you can, you know, then turn around and review further. So it'll kind of help you refine your criteria and really laser focus in on what works for you. And you can find that at BrickettInvestmentGroup.com/checklist.
Love it. Love it. Definitely go check that out, folks, and download that, because I know that's an incredible tool to help you quickly analyze things and really understand, do we need to dive deeper and save you a bunch of time. So Sam, again, thank you so much for the time and the experience. We really appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Cody. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Thanks everyone for joining us. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.